My name is Bob Campbell. I am retired, and I am currently the town councilman for the Leland town.
Bob Campbell, you are finishing up your first term on Leland Town Council, running for a second.
Yes, ma'am.
Why do you want a second term?
Well, we've started a lot of projects, basically concerning the growth of the town of Leland, and there are a lot of things that are ongoing that I'd like to see finished.
What is, if you could have one project finished the way you want to see it done, what would that one thing be?
A good plan for transportation and infrastructure. We are working on that. We've been working on it for a while. We are growing so quickly that it's hard to keep up with it and plan for everything. But I would like to see us get deeper into that. And if it doesn't get finished during my term, I'd like to make sure that we have a good headway into it.
When you say infrastructure, we know that Brunswick County and Leland, some of the fastest growing parts of the country. Mm-hmm. What kinds of, are you talking water, sewer? Are you talking roads? What are you trying to build? Tell us specifically.
We are looking at roads in particular. With all the new development, it's not just the main highways you're looking at. You're looking at roads in the planned unit developments and so on. We're looking at that. We're looking at the accessibility, sidewalks, bike paths, trails, those kind of things to make sure that people are able to get around without adding a lot of traffic to the existing highways. And then you've got your water and sewer. With the hurricanes and so on, the flooding issues that we're trying to address. So those are the kind of infrastructure items that I'm talking about.
When we look at some of the development that's been happening in Leland, we see tremendous amounts of clear cutting, and there is a divergence among developers in terms of how they approach that. Brunswick Forest is an example of a place that left clumps of trees and left green spaces and created some walking and biking paths. Mallory Creek is an example of a place where developers just cut everything down to the nub. Every last trace of vegetation is gone. Should Leland have a voice in how that unfolds?
Absolutely. And I am, you might call me a tree hugger, although I've never hugged one. But when I moved here 20 years ago, the area that I moved to, they were in that frame of mind of clear cutting. And on my lot in particular, I said, absolutely not. You're clear enough to build the home, and I want the trees left. And so
as an individual homeowner, you actually had a say
absolutely.
In your lot.
That's correct.
And that's in Magnolia Greens.
That's correct. And that was followed by many others that were coming in at about the same time and all expressed the same wish to have that vegetation and so on. And I think it's important to keep it. And as a town councilman, I would strongly look at, and we do look at plans and projects and so on, and what are you going to put where? Where are your trees going to be? What kind of vegetation are you going to have? Because we want to keep as much of that as we can.
In 2015, you talked about H2GO being a duplication of efforts, mm-hmm. and this is the water provider that serves mostly Leland residents. Mm-hmm. And that was certainly before the news of Gen X and the water supply broke, and which was 2017. And even since then, we've learned that there are other elements in the drinking water supply that can't be removed using traditional practices. So Brunswick County is now building a reverse osmosis plant. Has your position on H2GO and what the future of that utility should be changed? What does clean drinking water look like in the town of Leland?
Right. Well, I still think that it's a duplication of effort. But in the 4 years that I've been a council member, the progress has been very slow. So there is a plan to try to incorporate and remove some animosities between the various and sundry municipalities and organizations, to formulate a plan and a plant to remove all those things that you were talking about. So it appears that the H2GO plan to do the reverse osmosis plant, it looks like that's going to happen. So it will be a duplication at least until such time as we catch up or the county catches up to us. The county's still a couple of years behind in their project. So it's going to take a little bit for them, where H2GO is already a step ahead. So
you think H2GO is likely to complete its reverse osmosis plant, have it in operation before the county does?
Yes.
Is that a positive thing? Are you glad that as a Leland resident you'll have water that's treated using reverse osmosis, or do you already in your house?
I do not, but I am 90% positive. I mean, I can't guarantee anything, but that's the way I feel, that it looks like it's going. That H2GO will be done and up and running before the county has theirs ready.
Right. Okay. And I guess what I'm asking is, are you supportive of that? You still think it's a duplication of efforts, but are you concerned about the water you're drinking now? Do you get water from another source?
I get my water from H2GO. I've had it for 20 years, and I'm still viable. I agree it's still a duplication of effort, but in order to get it going, I think that probably the best thing to do is be supportive of H2GO. They have a very good board running them now, and I look forward to continuing that process. And I think in the long run, for the benefit of all the people in the service area, it's the way to go.
In 2015, there were complaints and there was some discussion during that candidate forum about parking cars in Leland and people saying the streets are too narrow, mm-hmm. and so we're not allowed to park on the street in front of our own houses. And there was some discussion about doing better, Leland planning better with developers to make streets wider so that perhaps people could park in front of their homes. Has anything changed along that front? And what would you say to people who still feel like they're facing challenges parking around their own homes?
Things have changed. We're looking with our roads and street planning. We're still looking at the width of these roads to allow some on-street parking. We have reviewed many, many plans with, do you park on one side of the street or the other side of the street? You know, who's going to be allowed to park where? Unfortunately, for the existing streets, there's not a whole lot you can do. Unless somebody wants to give up their front yard to make the street wider, allow parking. I don't know what else, anything we could do with that. Now, we are encouraging developers. Again, we're trying to make streets wider, and we're also encouraging developers with guidance on depth of driveways, width of driveways, to allow multiple vehicle parking on the property. So that's, again, an ongoing process.
One of the town's top public safety goals is to, quote, be prepared for, responsive to, and able to recover from natural and man-made hazards. That's in the most recent budget manual. We know there are residents in Leland who are still in campers and motels after Hurricane Florence. How is the town of Leland preparing for events like Hurricane Florence's?
Well, we are continuing to train staff. We are looking at and reviewing floodplain maps and weather situations over the years, and trying to look at where these issues, flooding, sewage, drainage, where are those problems coming from, perhaps what's causing them, and what do we have to do to fix them? So, again, that's not an issue you fix overnight, but it's something that we are considering and pretty much on a constant basis.
If you look at most of the capital projects that are laid out in the most recent budget, Sturgeon Creek Community Park, Leland Municipal Park, Cypress Cove Park, in the concerns section, it notes lack of funding. So is there a plan to find the funding for some of these spaces?
There is a plan. It's not, in my opinion, a very in-depth one. As a matter of fact, I have a note to myself that at the upcoming meeting tonight to bring that up. We've got just what you said. We've got three parks, none of them complete. The roadblock being funding. I want to talk to the council about what do we do? Do we stop all three of them and concentrate on one and finish one before we continue with the other three? So there's not a real strong plan right now to do that funding.
In the economic development plan of 2019, one of the first elements of it is this layout of a SWOT analysis, looking at strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. One of the weaknesses identified was lack of collaboration with the county. What opportunities is Leland missing by lack of collaboration with the county, and how could that be improved? Are there redundancies that could be eliminated?
We are working in redundancies standpoint. We are looking at things like water and sewage. The town of Leland is constantly or continuously looking at annexations, voluntary annexations, and so on. So you're now in competition with the county. We would like to work better with them in the water and sewer distribution. We also would like to be able to sit down with them and look at things like sidewalks. We want to build a sidewalk from Town Hall to North Brunswick High School. There's been so many issues with Department of Transportation permissions, financing, and so on. And the county has not been real anxious to sit down and talk to us about maybe we could share the cost of that, because in the long run, we're providing safety for our children. And even though they're our children, the school itself has got a lot of responsibility to make sure those children travel safely back and forth. So there's those kind of issues that I'd like to see us get down to the desk with the county.
So part of that collaboration really is about funding, about getting the county to kick in a little more.
Yes.
With some of these projects.
Yes.
And that leads to Leland's sort of odd geographical patchwork, these non-contiguous borders. What is that something that you as a town council member plan to address, would like to address? How does that impact what you do?
You're talking about the sporadic locations?
Yes.
Yeah.
The borders, you can't draw a continuous line around Leland.
No.
There's some over here and there's a little over there, and it gets very confusing even for people who live there.
Yeah. I've been here 20 years and sometimes I don't know whether I'm in Belleville, Leland, or the county. So it is a challenge. And as we look at new developments coming along, we have to look at where are they? Are they in a contiguous geographical area that we can annex them? The county doesn't seem to have a problem with a piece of property going from the county to the town. And understand the town cannot just annex anything. They have to be there has to be an application. And in order for that application without a lot of other hurdles to climb, the property really has to be contiguous, has to touch some part of the town's border. So I see over the years that there'll be an infill of that area. So we may very well see in sometime a circle of or a big square of area that's geographical and better defined.
In Leland's economic development plan, it also talks about the gateway to Leland, mm-hmm. and how it's not maybe beautiful, my words, or well-maintained. Mm-hmm. How would you like that to look? What would you like there to be when people drive into Leland and get their first impression of it?
Well, I would like to see, of course, we have a nice welcome to the town of Leland sign and so on. I would like to see more things like, some beautification with flowers and perhaps some pots and all that kind of stuff. What I really like to see is the power poles that go down along Village Road that you question whether they're going to stay or not. And we have addressed that as a town council, and that is Duke Energy. And we've talked to Duke Energy about that. But to go in and take those out and do underground lines, it's about $9 million.
And would that be the responsibility of the town?
That's correct. That would be our responsibility. So when you look at $9 million to bury electric lines, or you look at $9 million if you had it to complete a park, that's a choice we have to decide which one we want to do, or if not all of them.
One of the issues that often comes up with Leland Town Council, Leland government, is the acrimony and the accusation and the history of tension between Leland and Belleville. And each election cycle, people say, oh, we want to become more collaborative and cooperative, and we're meeting with people, and we want to bridge that gap. And yet, there are still these almost Hatfield and McCoy type events that happen, and it never seems to really improve. I know with H2Go, there's now possibly an agreement among the different entities. But why is that happening, and what can you, Bob Campbell, do to improve that relationship?
Well, that my experience with that is that, and this has developed over 30 years. We just celebrated our 30th anniversary as a town. And I found out actually at that anniversary celebration that a little over 30 years ago, Belleville was going to annex the town of Leland. And I think that that animosity has been there for a long time. Now, in my 20 years here, I haven't seen a lot of animosity from, particularly from new people coming in that don't know that there was any to begin with. I really think, in my opinion, I think the animosity comes from the politicians in the communities. And I have talked to some of them on occasion, and I just get a feeling like, we don't want to talk to you. You're trying to take us over, and we are not. We got our own problems. We don't need somebody else's. But
so you think it's kind of a territorial thing?
I think it's a very territorial thing. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you can do to help?
I don't know. To solve a problem, in my opinion, you have to really sit down at a table and discuss it and try to be in a collaborative effort, arrived at a solution that may or may not be equitable to all the players. The issue is trying to get them to come to the table. And I talk to them. The feeling is we don't want to hear it. We don't want to talk to you. It's been nice talking to you, but we'll see you some other time. So I don't know.
This past budget, there was no increase to the property tax rate, but there is an increase to property taxes for most people because valuations went up, which
Correct.
Means that even though the tax rate, it wasn't done in a revenue neutral way, it kept the tax rate, and most people will pay more tax on their homes this next year. It was presented as no tax increase, which some could argue is a little misleading because it is. And there's also a 20% increase in fire fees and a new tax on vehicles, a $30 tax. So the question I'm asking is not, why did you raise taxes? We know that Leland is undergoing tremendous growth and needs to plan. I guess my question is, why was it presented as no tax increase when there are actually three different elements of a tax increase?
Well, you know, the semantics. Was there a tax increase? No, the tax rate was not increased. But
there's a vehicle tax.
Well, as you say, there's a vehicle tax that not everybody will pay because not everybody has a vehicle. So the people that are using the roads are paying something with their vehicle tax.
And is that allocated to a specific fund, that vehicle tax?
It just goes into the general fund, and then we can use it for what we need to use.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it would, using it, if we can use it on our roads, it supplements. We get funding from the Powell bill, which gives you revenue for the number of miles of roads that you have. So we can supplement that with this vehicle fund and provide other services with it. So, like you say, it's general.
Okay. Cape Fear Crossing is dead for now. That was controversial and complicated for Leland. What lessons have you learned from what just happened at this point, and what do you want to see happen going forward?
What I have learned is that people are not informed. The road plans for the crossing have been around for a long time, many, many years. And it only comes to people's attention when somebody says, we're going to build a bridge, and then it's not in my backyard. I would like to see better communication, particularly from the Department of Transportation. If there's a plan, if they can continue to look at this and have a plan to put a bridge in, I would like for them to get the plans out in the public up front and go ahead and get something done, because the longer they wait to do it, the more expensive it's going to be as Leland grows, and now you're taking homes and properties that we don't really want to give up.
So can you have a hand in shaping the next phase of this? Everyone acknowledges there needs to be another crossing between Brunswick and New Hanover County.
Mm-hmm.
It'll have to come up again. It has for decades. It's been a cyclical thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the next time it comes up, how can you help shape that process?
Work with the Transportation Board, Metropolitan Transportation, and our own transportation infrastructure. We have folks on the MPO that are working with the DOT folks. And I'm not on it, but if I'm asked, I certainly would serve.
The town of Leland has approved an additional $1 million for economic development incentives associated with three residential projects.
Mm-hmm.
According to Port City Daily, this is part of water sewer infrastructure help. It's not checks that the town is writing to developers, but they're giving them essentially a break
mm-hmm.
on those helping them put the infrastructure in. Is that a fair way of describing
it? Yes, it is.
Given that Leland is one of the fastest growing municipalities in the state, why does the town need to help developers? Don't they want to be there anyway?
They do. They would like to be here, but they can be here and be in the county and not in the town limits. So if we discourage that growth, those funds would go to the county. Now, would the county be as proactive as we are with their incentives? I don't know. But over with that program, as these developments occur and people start building, as the homes and structures are built and sold, those funds come back to the town. So they're coming out of a utility fund that doesn't cost the taxpayer anything. We're just trying to encourage that future growth. But again, if they don't build in within the town or within an area that's going to be annexed into the town, and we don't approve any of that stuff until their actual property is annexed, then they're going to go somewhere else.
Military Ocean Terminal Sunny Point, Matsu.
Matsu.
Likely to see more private property owners coming closer to its interchange
yes.
yard in Leland. Is there any concern on the part of the town of Leland about having munitions going through these residential neighborhoods or having people that close?
Yeah, yes, there is. And there's a development across the railroad from Brunswick Forest that they're looking at developing now. And that's a concern of how close, you know, that's going to be and what's going to go through there. Now, that being said, there's we have a councilman who's on the on a committee that meets with these folks at Matsu, and we're talking about that. And Matsu's coming up with some plans about how close they want to allow development and so on. So that's just kind of in a fledgling state right now, but we are concerned about that, yes. And we look forward to working with those folks at Matsu to arrive at an equitable solution.
How do you think it should go? I mean, if you could draw the picture, what would it look like?
As far as a development along that line?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would look at setback from the railroads, from the lines, with the safety and security, the people are going to live there, so that something would happen and that it would be not as disastrous if they were that close to, they were closer to that property. So there's a lot of traffic goes through there on that railroad. And again, I think if I had to draw it, I would draw it out to try to determine what's a good safe distance. Should there be a wall? What kind of vegetation, trees, and that kind of stuff should be there as a buffer for protection against any disaster that may come along?
You have a challenger, a couple of challengers,
yes,
this year.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you a better choice?
You know, when you go for a job interview, one of the questions that the interviewer wants to know is, what's your experience? Do you have any experience? I feel like I am the better candidate because I have 4 years of experience, of knowledge. You know, it takes probably 2 years to really figure out what you're going. How do you get on the elevator? And then two more years and you're really into things and, you know, you just go on. But my 4 years experience is what I got to offer the town.
We talked about this at the beginning. I asked you if you could have one project done the way you would like to see it done. You talked about completing infrastructure.
Yes.
But let's go back. Let's say we're looking back now. You're reelected. You're getting to the end of your second 4-year term on Leland Town Council. What's different about Leland because you were on council for a second term?
What would be different is how our new developments are coming along, how they're planned, where they're planned. Are they feasible and equitable to the folks that are going to live there, including I would like to see a strong effort into what's typically called affordable housing, meaning housing that people who have jobs can afford to pay.
You're talking about teachers, firefighters, police officers.
Police officers, that's correct. We have a lot of retired folks in the town. Some of them have done well in their careers and have brought that financial ability with them. And there's a need for homes for those people in those financial situations. But when you're looking at trying to create jobs, when you're looking at the jobs that are coming now into Leland and so on, a lot of them are restaurant workers, and some, like you say, police and fire and so on. We have to have housing available for those folks too, the housing that they can afford. And so that's, at the end of my tenure, I would like to see that firmly established with some good guidelines. And we're doing some of that. As a developer now comes to us and says, we want to build so many townhomes, so many houses, and we want to build them in this price range. So we're trying to look at the highs and lows there and who can afford to live there.
And do you have a definition yet of affordable housing? Like, you know, some people will say affordable housing equals 30% of someone's income, although there aren't many places where, you know, that's the case for somebody who makes the salary of, say, a teacher in the public school system.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you have a definition for it?
Well, I, you know, it's, as far as the percentage is concerned, you know, I think you use the banking financial guidelines, you know, 25-30%, no more than 30% of their salaries. And I think we need to, should probably do a study and an analysis of what are the pay grades and pay rates and income levels of the folks that live in the town, and then judge from there, and that should be done quickly, should judge from there, is what kind of housing can this person afford, so, and then use that as a guideline.
Bob Campbell, is there anything else that you think voters should consider about you when they go to the polls to make their decision this year?
That's a good question. I think they should look at what I've done over the last 4 years and understand what I've tried to do is for the benefit of all of the town of Leland, not a particular section. I've tried to be fair and equitable. I question things that I don't think are completely clear and understandable when we have meetings. I don't mind stepping up. And so I think they should understand that I am trying to be a voice and express and be open and listen to the folks. I've had a lot of people come to me and just now, just, you know, they don't know you until you're up for a re-election. And then they come by and say, you know, what about this and what about that? I try to be very honest, forthcoming, and you might not like the answer I give you, but I'm going to give you what you ask and truthfully.
Bob Campbell, thanks so much for sharing your views with our listeners today.
Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.